Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 18. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
It was some years ago that it kind of hit me, you know. I kind of like air conditioning.
I like a button that can open my garage door when it's cold outside and rainy. My point is, you and I have a garden goblet, and we've forgotten. But I had to ask the question, so what's the payoff? What is it that we seek? Do we really seek to have a piece of land and a vine and, you know, sit in the shade, the cool of the day? Listen to me. The Bible is very clear that what you and I have to look forward to is that everlasting joy will be upon our brow. We're going to be so lit up because sin will have had its day. It's done. There will be no sorrow. There will be no pain, no sickness, no parting, no fear, no law of the tooth and claw. There will be only joy. The Bible says, and we shall return with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy will be upon our brow. You know, when you have everlasting joy, it's almost like being catapulted back to the time of your childhood. When you were so happy, you could just about pop. You're going to be so full of God and His goodness that you're going to be in bliss. You won't want or need the nonsense that the world is constantly handing you. Something else, something other, something more. And you're so overwhelmed, you can't do anything else. You fall exhausted, not from physical exertion, but from mental exertion. You and I are being overwhelmed. The Bible says that in the last days, knowledge will increase and men will run to and fro. The Bible says in the last days that you and I will be experiencing what's called strong delusion. Have you ever saw such strong delusion? You know, the strong delusion is you go in and watch a TV show, and you're in it 5 minutes, and next thing you know, some guy's kissing a guy on network TV in prime time. I've read some stuff about this Riverdale. I grew up on Archie and Veronica and Betty. I mean, I thought they were great. I'd read their comics. Well, don't be fooled, because evidently there's all kinds of terrible stuff in that show. And it's all been made what we would call very contemporary to our society today. And you know what's been said years and years ago, really, life imitates art. And so we give the art to the kids and they say, well, that's normal. Oh, beloved, what I'm saying to you is strong delusion is when you come in here and I give you a message and it's spot on and it's truth, but you go out there and you've watched 20 shows between now and next week and you've been told 50 things that said everything I said was wrong. And you see some people being put in jail because they took a stand to hand out tracts somewhere, or they preached somewhere, or they gave a child in their classroom, you know, a good verse. My brother-in-law was a guidance counselor for a school and had his Bible on his desk just sitting there. And he was brought up to the deep carpet, told, you know, you can't have that. And that's been 15, 20 years ago. You and I are living in a day where you can't pray in Jesus' name. You know, Duck Dynasty, right? They pray amen at the end, but in Jesus' name is not mentioned, though they're for it. And it's something that is insidious. Strong delusion is factor God out, factor God out, factor evil in, factor evil in. The Bible says you're going to meditate horror because what's terror? Because what you're going to see is you're going to be looking at these scorched earth cities of the past. And he says you're going to meditate terror. You're going to think, where's the scribe? Where's the receiver? That might be the people at the harbor. Where's the people who are receiving stuff? Where is he that counted towers? See, this is all about towers. You remember towers, right? Remember that guy in the New Testament the Bible talks about? He said, I got barns, I got time, I'm going to build bigger barns. And he says, you fool, this night, that's what's happening in Babylon. He says, it's going to happen overnight. Look at verse 20 of chapter 33. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. He says, thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall ever be removed. Neither shall any cords thereof be broken. But the Lord, the glorious Lord, will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. Do you remember where the Bible talks about it's going to be about half of the earth decimated? Grass and the, you know, all of the things, you know, the water red and all that. Well, when Jesus sets up his kingdom, the Bible talks about having a throne in Jerusalem out of which there's going to be waters, fresh waters come. Everybody's going to be happy that they're there because, man, look, we all get water again. We haven't had that in a while. And so he's talking about where Jesus is going to be a place of broad rivers, which is he's going to rule and reign out of Jerusalem. Verse 22 says, the Lord our judge will save us. He's our lawgiver. He's our king. He will save us. Verse 22. Verse 24 says, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. You know, when Jesus is in the room, you get better right now. Remember when Peter was entertaining Jesus at his home and his mother-in-law was sick? Well, that didn't last too long. He went in and he raised her up, and she got up so happy that I'll be up, she went to serving. She said, okay, hey, can I get you something good? You need to eat. That's what a mom would say. You need to eat something. Okay, she got up and started serving. Beloved, we have a great God, and he's going to come, and he's going to deal with the world we're in. Look at verse 1 of chapter 34. Come near, ye nations. He says in verse 2, for the indignation of the Lord is upon, underlining it, all nations. You see that burning? Who's going to dwell amidst the burning? The nations are going to be dealt with decidedly. Chapter 16 of Revelation says, and the cities of the earth fell in one moment. All the cities, the mountains fled away and the islands were found no more. When Jesus comes, he's retooling the earth to be exactly like he wanted it always to be. When the Tower of Babel was built and the city was established under Nimrod and the cult was established under his wife, all of the course of human history took a detour, and we've been on that detour ever since. And you've got Pharaoh saying, their God. You've got Assyrian king saying, their God. And you've got Babylonian king saying, he's God. Look what I have made. And you have worship of emperors in the imperial kingdoms of the earth across time and history. The Bible says in verse 3 of Isaiah 34, 3, the mountains shall be melted with their blood. He's got a controversy with the nations. And you remember, don't you? I told you a moment ago about Zechariah, where it says, he that resists God, he must die in this manner while he still stands. You know, his eyes are going to dissolve in his sockets, tongue in his mouth, before he ever hits the ground. The Bible is telling me here that mountains will be melted with their blood. It's not that they're melting. It's going to be so much blood there. It's just going to be a bunch of mess. And he says in verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. That answers Isaiah 63 when the Bible says, who is this? Comes from Edom with his blood-sprinkled garments. He says, it is I, the Lord, mighty to save. He said, I look for somebody to stand with me, but no one did. And he says, I tread it out alone. Jesus takes care of everything. And he's going to fix this. He's going to fix this. In the meantime, our call is to be salt and light, but he's going to fix this. The Bible says in verse 8, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. You know, ever since Israel has been established, the world has hated them. They've been a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And they've been a trembling stone to the nations to this very day. Our president, for the first time, any president ever did it, it declares Jerusalem to be the capital. Everybody knows it. But he declares it to be, and it's a big brouhaha. What? Do you realize how miraculously they got that city? Go back and study the Six-Day War. They weren't even looking for a fight, but they said, if you want to fight, we'll do what we can. 6 days, five nations, set running, back on their heels, and they get Jerusalem. They're like, hey, we got Jerusalem. How'd that happen? This is the God we serve. And he's still doing miracles in the midst of his people. And we see these people over there, that little speck. I'm just so glad we're calling it what it is now. It's the capital, because at least we can solicit some blessing and favor from God for our grandchildren. Do you know the land and the world we leave our grandchildren is up to us, right? So we vote according to what we know will do good for the future, not my pocketbook. You know, people vote their pocketbook. And that's why they want all these illegal aliens to come in, because they make them, who are used to being taken care of by welfare states and socialism and communism, and they bring them in and they'll vote for the same here. It circumvents and upsets the entire balance of America, which once was very much deliberate about its commitment to its personal responsibility and treading out one's own livelihood with their own heart and their own spirit. The Bible says it's the day of the Lord's vengeance, and then in verse 9 it says, and the streams thereof. He's talking about this controversy he has with the nations. He says the streams of that landscape shall be turned into pitch. Now, pitch is used for a number of things, but one thing it's used for is what he goes on to say. It says, and the dust of those cities is going to be turned into brimstone. The land thereof shall be burning pitch. It burns real good. Yeah, you know, Noah used it to use on his wood, you know, of his ark to keep it from sinking, but it's also used for dipping arrows. And you'd light those arrows and you'd shoot some, and you know, the fiery darts of the wicked when he's shooting at you, so when he hits you, it splats and hits other people in your world. You and I need to keep our focus because everlasting joy is just younger. I know you're just tired and hurt and beat up, and we're looking like a, you know, Leroy Brown with a couple pieces missing, you know? That's the way we feel sometimes, don't we? Even through the ringer. But I want you to know it's going to be okay. The Bible says there's going to be brimstone and burning pitch. And the Bible says in verse 10, it shall not be quenched day or night. Look at that, night or day. It says, and the smoke thereof shall go up, look at that, forever. Those cities are going to be burning as an example. They're going to meditate terror. Those cities that fall, they're going to continue to burn. It says in verse 10, it shall not be quenched night or day, and the smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation, it shall lie waste, and none shall pass through it forever and ever. These cities are going to be left as wounds. You know, people get all worried about their scars. You know, we look at our country today, and people are pulling down monuments, right? Isn't that crazy? You say, well, why should we have a Robert E. Lee out there? He was for the Confederacy or whatever. Well, yeah, we have a memorial because, you know, there was a confusion in our country and there was a wound that was there. Here was a man who had the right heart but had unclear ideals because he was a person of his age. But we got it right. We got it right. What we really need to be worried about is the blood of the babies of 60 million strong that we have to answer for in our generation. We are in big trouble right now, but thank God we're being friendly to Israel. Good idea, I think. I think I'm going to stand next to them. Because when the bombs start flying, God tends to put an iron dome over them. Not just the physical ones, but His own right hand. They are the apple of His eye. We need to affiliate with them. The Bible says in verse 11, but the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl also, the raven. In other words, he's saying all of these beasts are going to live in that city. That was said back in chapter 18 of Revelation. I'm going to move down to verse 16. It says, seek ye out the book of the Lord. He's telling the Israelites, read the Bible. He says, and read, no one of these shall fail. None of them shall want their mate. In other words, every prophecy, it's all going to be, oh, look here, he said this. No, look here, he said this. And bam, like I'm taking you to Isaiah 34, but it can be put right next to its mate in Revelation in chapters 17 and 18. I want to take you real quickly over to chapter 35. He says, the solitary space shall be glad, verse 1. He says it will blossom. He says in verse 4, he says, if you're fearful of heart, be strong, don't fear. He says in verse 5, the blind are going to have their eyes open. The ears of the deaf are going to be open. The lame are going to leap. And the parched ground shall become a pool. You know what that means? Sahara is going to be a nice place to live. He's going to make it all good. God never intended for this earth to be as fragmented and hostile as it is. It was after the flood that the law of tooth and claw came into play. That's when we had the fear of man put in the animals, because after the sun and the canopy was broke down, and the sun came in and everybody started dying at, you know, earlier and earlier intervals till it leveled out around 70, 80 years. That all was an insanity that was foisted upon the wild kingdom out there. God's going to fix all that. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb. That's elsewhere. But look, it says in verse 8, there's going to be a highway in those desert places. It'll be called the way of holiness. Look at verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs. And underline it, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.